What did we execute on? But the geology didn't change here, right? At one point, this company was 150 million market cap with 50% ownership of the assets, you know, and an $1,800 gold price. Today, that valuation you mentioned, not only are we executing, you know, we have 100% ownership of these great assets with a massive geologic endowment. You know, we have a $3,300 gold price, but we're sub 40 million market cap, right? So, you know, what we executed on was we targeted with this drill program specifically the potential extensions of a known gold deposit here at Douay, which already has critical mass, right? 3 million ounces is not a small amount of gold, and especially where we are. I think actually it's important for your audience to note, you know, if you do a filter, not just on quality filter, on management, on partner, and all these other things, there's a scarcity factor of 3 million ounce gold projects in Canada that are located, that have power and road infrastructure, right? That are located in jurisdictions like what we have.
Kiran Patankar, Maple Gold. Good afternoon to you, my friend. How are you?
Great to see you. Good afternoon, and great to have a chance to sit down and talk to you about Maple Gold and all the good things we're doing.
Yeah, absolutely. To all my viewers and listeners, I want to give a full disclaimer. Maple Gold did not pay for this interview. They are not currently a sponsor. I am a shareholder and an investor. Backstory about that, I met Kiran, I don't know, 4 weeks ago, 6 weeks ago here in Atlanta. For me, this was not only the story and the asset, which I do believe in, but first of all, I was so impressed with Kiran, the way he handled himself and he answered my questions. I threw so many fastballs at him because I was looking at this as an investor point of view. And he not only handled that with grace, but he was very on point with answering my questions. So I'm going to try, Kiran, I'm going to try to give our viewers and listeners the same experience that I had in Atlanta. So let's start with this again. Tell me about the 30,000 foot view of the project here.
Great. Well, thanks again, and let's get into it. Maple Gold is an advanced exploration and development company. We're focused 100% on advancing the next multi-million ounce gold camp in a very prolific gold camp called the Abitibi Greenstone Belt in Quebec, Canada. It's the premier gold mining jurisdiction. It's the sort of highway of headframes. Maple has 100% owned projects that are district scale. They're almost 500 square kilometers with an established 3 million ounce resource at our Douay project, a past producing high-grade mine complex, which was Agnico Eagle's first producing gold mine at Joutel, which is on our land package, and lots of exploration across the entire property. We've reset the company over the course of the last 18 months that I've been in the leadership chair. We've restructured our joint venture with Agnico into a very win-win transaction. We've just gotten out. We financed the company properly last year. We've just completed a 12,000-meter drill program at Douay with some excellent results. And there's a lot building here in terms of momentum. So I'm looking forward to getting into some of the details. But at a high level, you know, you've got the right jurisdiction, right rocks, established ounces, trading at an attractive valuation, I might add, of just under $8 an ounce, which is pretty ludicrous given where the gold
That's
market has
stupid.
moved.
Just to all of my viewers, not to cut you off, all my viewers and listeners, that's stupid valuation, meaning stupid good. So go
But
ahead.
that's opportunity, right? That to me, I say this as it's, you know, it's a very attractive entry point for a company that ticks all the boxes. I mean, when people are looking at investment, they're looking for risk reward and the right the mix. You know, one mitigates the other, and so I think when we go through this, people will hear just how many of those boxes that we tick from a risk mitigation perspective and just what the upside potential really is.
Yeah, so what really got me, again, it was you betting on the jockey here, but also the asset. I love that you're in Quebec, but also love that Agnico Eagle is a joint partner. Correct me if I'm wrong. Love that. But let's talk about, again, and also the valuation is crazy. Like crazy good. That is the opportunity. That is something that I look for in valuation. But let's start with, and my question I think at the time was, what went wrong and why is the stock price like this? And again, not to throw shade on anybody, but yeah. Tell me if you can say what you can say about all that and why this is an opportunity now. What happened and why now?
Yeah, at one point, this company, when I joined it in corporate development, I ultimately became CFO. I mean, I've seen a lot. I wear a lot of hats because I have a both a technical capital markets background, and that's what a junior company needs, especially one that's striving to be lean, mean, and deliver results. The company, prior to my taking over, you know, it's easy to go out for most junior companies. Most of them are spending a lot of time arm waving about not really doing anything. It's easy. The easy thing is to spend money. Right? Drilling holes, gathering data, et cetera. The hard thing is to actually put that together into a cohesive, you know, how are you going to create value for shareholders? How are you going to advance assets? How are you going to make sure that the things that you can control, which, you know, I don't control the gold price, I don't control the vagaries in the market or what comes out of, you know, politicians, you know, mouths that are pushing this price, that price, et cetera, the broader market sentiment. I control process, right? We built a great team. We learned from the mistakes of the past. We spent a year resetting the project technically. We conveyed that to, you know, early investors and long-term investors, including our partner at Agnico in 2024. You know, we didn't drill a hole. We did a smart transaction to restructure the joint venture. You mentioned it was a joint partnership. It's now an equity investment for Agnico Eagle. They're our largest shareholder. They've got a long-term interest in the project via back-in and a royalty. And we can talk about that. But you know, we're delivering, as we said, we just came out with our results from our 12,000 meter program. We also did that very efficiently. We brought all the costs in line with a junior company of our size, both corporately and operationally. And you know, the market clearly cares about the assay results, but there's a method that's being followed here, which is a bit more like when you're punching above your weight, trying to differentiate yourself. You know, we have an audience, which is clearly your network and supporters and shareholders like yourself, but it's also Agnico Eagle, which is a large company. So you can understand, you know, we're not just putting news out to move the stock. We're putting news out that's material and that shows how we're actually adding value. We like to set a path of here's what we're going to do. Let's deliver it. Actually, let's over deliver it. And I believe we've set a good track record of doing that, although it's early days.
Yeah. So I'm going to talk to my viewers and listeners here. So this is my own evaluation. Do your own due diligence. I can't emphasize that enough. One of the things I like, and one of the things I like about Maple, is you want to look for assets that are really cheap, but then you have to ask, why are they cheap? Because there's a reason. So it could be the market, it could be so many different things, and it could be mismanagement, or it could be they just ran out of money, which is a part of mismanagement. And then, not alluding to that would happen, and I don't want to dwell on that, but then a new team or a new leader comes in, if you would, and it turns around the company, the project, whatever. And again, talking to my viewers and listeners, I think that is what Maple Gold has, if you would. They're getting the new leadership in there, and then they're starting, they have the new vision, they're cleaning things up, and then they start to turn it around, what is or what was and what is a great project. So talk to me about your execution, meaning what has recently happened. How are you turning this around to provide shareholders value?
Yeah, that's a great point you just made. And I just reiterate that as I go into, you know, what are the results? What did we execute on? But the geology didn't change here, right? At one point, this company was 150 million market cap with 50% ownership of the assets, you know, and an $1,800 gold price. Today, that valuation you mentioned, not only are we executing, you know, we have 100% ownership of these great assets with a massive geologic endowment. You know, we have a $3,300 gold price, but we're a 40 million, sub 40 million market cap, right? So, you know, what we executed on was we targeted with this drill program specifically the potential extensions of a known gold deposit here at Douay, which already has critical mass, right? 3 million ounces is not a small amount of gold, and especially where we are. I think actually it's important for your audience to note, if you do a filter, not just on quality filter, on management, on partner, and all these other things, there's a scarcity factor of 3 million ounce gold projects in Canada that are located, that have power and road infrastructure, right? That are located in jurisdictions like what we have. My count, there's only seven of them, right? And so we're already in rare territory. You know, we've got an alkaline porphyry system, intrusive system that's intruded along a major first order structure in the Abitibi. That's got headframes all over it and gold mines everywhere. We went out, we delivered the first five holes of the program. We came back with that in early April, and the stock really moved, right? Because I think people just expected we'd be drilling low-hanging fruit, having not really drilled in 2 years, put a new team together. We came into this year with a $6.3 million budget, one of the most ambitious budgets that we had, even going back to the period of our joint venture with Agnico. And we focused in the resource area, but that doesn't mean we were just looking at infill. We looked at growing the resources within these 100 to 200 meter gaps in the mineralized domains, but also targeting, importantly, the downplunge higher grade extensions outside the resource area that have a higher grade tenor. When you look at out of the first five holes, one of the holes that was really a standout was hole 338, and that was really it was a barn burner, right? It was one of the best intercepts we've drilled to date, going back to 1982, the discovery hole at Douay. It was the fifth best intercept ever drilled here. It was 2.1 grams over 109 meters from about 490 meters vertical depth, including 3.15 over 55, 5.16 over 17. I mean, these are the types of grades and thicknesses that we're now stepping out that zone to about, we're up to 600 meters below the existing pit bottom. But these are the kinds of grades and thicknesses that, at these gold prices, you can mine, successfully underground all day in this part of the world. We followed up after that. There were some higher grade successes in the porphyry zone in the middle portion of the deposit. We did come out with 16 holes in the last 2 weeks, the last week, I guess,
Tell me
a week
about them.
ago. Yeah, and those results, again, we did additional step outs in the Nika zone to really vector and define that bulk potential, bulk tonnage, high grade underground zone. One of the holes that was the clear standout from that program was hole 54X, which returned, it's roughly 20 meters of 2.9 grams with some higher grade in it. It tells us exactly where we want to go in terms of following up and further extending that Nika zone, which we're very excited about. Now extended down to 600 meters below the pit bottom. But the other areas, again, we found it in one area at Nika, but we also found it in the 531 zone, which is on the eastern portion of the project. That had a historical intercept of 8.8 grams per ton over 28 meters within the pit, which got a lot of people, including our partner, very excited. But Maple was never really able to successfully follow up on those results. We, with a better model, came out and delivered 4.87 grams over 15 meters from 393 vertical depth, including 11.25 grams over 5 meters in hole 351, 3.66 over 11.4, including 11.04 over 2.85 meters in 352, and 3 grams over 10.8 meters, including 4.51 over 5 meters in hole 349. So all the holes in this program, I want to reiterate, intersected gold, which is pretty spectacular for a new team, new model. But the high grade, importantly, is what gives us these, extensions and extension potential, which is really why people should look at this project to begin with, is that the endowment's there at surface, but the potential for this to grow and deliver a, between three to growing a deposit from 3 to 5 million ounces and adding quality ounces is really our objective over the near term. So.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm going to talk to my viewers and listeners here. This is how I, another thing that I look for a path to 5 million. Obviously, the higher, the better. And if you can get it 10 million ounces, you're looking at tier one asset. Another thing you really need to look at is grade. Think of grade as your margin, if you would. It's how much money you're going to be making every single time you either send that to a mill or heap leach it, depending on the model, if you would. So that's going to be cash flow coming in once you go into mining. Wow. So you said a lot in here. Can you? You said step out. So you stepped out from the original drilling program. You stepped out, and I'm using my hands here, further out, if you would. Now, that's what, again, talking to my viewers and listeners, that's what he means when stepping out to where the gold is to prove the resource. Correct me if I'm wrong, Karen.
No, that's correct. And step out is inherently more risky than just drilling in a known area. So I think what it is when you make what we said at Nika, the 338 hole, it's a discovery hole, and then you're following up and vectoring to determine, do you have continuity? Do you have a zone? The answer in the case of Nika is yes. We know exactly where it's open. We can get back in there and do follow-up. The 531 zone, likewise, it remains open in all directions. The typical rule of thumb for exploration, for even with majors, right, is give us 100 gram meter-ish type intercepts that are open in multiple directions, you're going to get unlimited budget because this is how you really grow ounces rapidly within a deposit. And, I think the other thing that you alluded to and you mentioned is, how do you put some of these return on investment, bang for the buck on every exploration dollar that you're putting in the ground? I expect if you look at the resource endowment, which is 3 million ounces in both the 531, where there's, just over 200,000 ounces currently, and in the Nika Zone, which is only 170,000 ounces, that's like less than 5% of the overall resource, right? So when you look at these kinds of step outs, we're doing an updated resource estimate, but that path to getting to 5 million ounces, I think we're going to show some people as early as, in the fourth quarter when we put out a resource update. We show the impact of how, 20,000 meters that we've drilled since 2022, when the joint venture did the last resource update at $1,800 gold, what kind of impact we've had. I think we're going to add a lot of ounces here potentially at Nika and 531.
Okay, so that is a key point. Talking to all my viewers and listeners, a step out can be, I'm going to say the word ballsy. And I learned this from Rick Rule. When you step out and you can tie the resource together, that's when beautiful things happen in mining. So just think of it again, painting a picture to all my viewers and listeners. You have the key resource here, right here where my hand, you step out over here. And then if you can tie it in all in between, again, that's where you hit, that's where you have a really, really big, exciting story. And I think you are on your way to that. So well done. Let me ask you this here. Let's talk really quickly about cash in the bank, share structure. How much cash do you have? How much financing do you have? How much access do you have to capital? Obviously, Agnico is a partner in this, so I'm assuming a lot, but tell me about that. And then tell me what the plan is moving forward.
Yeah, great question. So our current cash position, we last reported on March 31st, which was the end of the first quarter. We reported 5.4 million. Recall, I raised 10 last year between Agnico and strategic and institutional investors to support the 2025 budget and program. As of today, as of this interview, we're sitting at just around $4 million. We did get some money back from the Quebec government. It's a wonderful place to operate. It's the only place I've ever operated in my career where, there's an
God bless
incentive.
Quebec.
Yeah, because
Really.
we got an $800,000 check back after filing our tax returns, in the form of a refundable mineral exploration tax credit, which is, where we are north of the 49th parallel in gold exploration in Quebec. Yeah, it's 37.5 cents on every dollar that we spend that comes back to us and can be reused to drive value through the drill bit. So we're well funded. We've got additional drilling coming up later this year. We've got that updated resource that I alluded to. We're also doing the studies that are going to underpin what a potential mine plan for this looks like. Because in this gold price environment, as I mentioned, open pit development in Canada is really a theme. We're right there if you compare us to the Mayfairs, the Fenn Gibbs, and similar geology to Kirkland and Detour and Malartic and other things that are there. It's a large scale project, but actually honing in on what we need to do, we have the funding to do that and deliver a lot more as we go into the second half of the year, which we're already into. In terms of share count, we're 456 million shares out. Understand that that's a lot of paper, but most of that, understand, is legacy paper. Unfortunately, when you take over something, you try to turn it around. I did this because I believe in the geology. I believe in the team. I wouldn't put all the heart and soul and effort into trying to turn this around over 18 months if I didn't fundamentally believe that this had the potential to return really asymmetric returns. But 456 with a fully diluted count of 500, just over 500 million. And again, the high low, we were trading sort of highest over the last year has been 10 cents on the back of great news from the drilling program. We were at five is probably our low. We traded about eight and a half today. So it's a roughly a 38 million market cap. And as I said, we're trading about 500,000 shares daily on just the TSX Venture, but that's a dramatic increase. And when you see those kinds of increases in volumes, typically they indicate some accumulation here, which I think, as you know from our conversation in Atlanta, we're not wallflowers. We're out telling a great story. I think that one that's very undervalued, and people are starting to notice.
Yeah. So a little bit talking to my viewers and listeners about Quebec. For those you don't know, they say, or it's known as the number one rated jurisdiction in the world. not only because of the resources, but I can't say this enough. It's just because of the tax advantages, the tax back advantages that you guys are entitled to, and you've taken advantage of in all the good ways. So really, that's the reason for Quebec, and also just because of the infrastructure that you have all around you. So I couldn't say that enough. Another thing, correct me if I'm wrong, you are fully financed to take this through the end of the year to show results. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yeah. And again, one of the things we talked about when you and I sat down was, we've brought the, I mentioned that our program was under budget in terms of drilling. So we were able to drill additional meters here. That's the mark of, proxy for good management is, are they delivering, right? We delivered a
Yep.
program at $300 per meter all in instead of 400, which is what the previous group, that was the benchmark. And I think 300 is going to be $300 a meter all in is going to be a sustainable, yardstick going forward. But corporately, we've outperformed in terms of staying on budget. We're doing a lot more on the marketing side. We're gearing up for bigger things, punching above our weight, as I said earlier. But nobody is playing fast and loose with shareholder capital because, I'm a big shareholder in this. I own, 3.2 million shares, most of which was purchased, in the market, supporting financings, buying regularly. We've got employees that are buying shares regularly. We've got good alignment. So yeah, we're financed, but as we're not revenue generating, right? So all companies obviously need to, the goal here is to see bigger programs based on the success that we've demonstrated is, we certainly think that this project merits, 20, 25,000 meter a year type drill programs. So we will need to come back to market eventually, but for the catalyst that we have upcoming, we're set.
Okay, talk a little bit about if you can how people need to be paying attention to you over the next really over the next quarter, what you can talk about, what catalysts are coming up that you can
As I
talk about.
said, as I said, I think there was work that's work is ongoing, right? The 16-hole drill hole release that we put out last week was not the last shot that we have at, generating news flow for this year and exciting. As I said in my quote, what we're going to deliver in the second half of the year is going to help answer a lot of questions about this project in terms of what the future is going to be. We did a summer program, we did some sonic drilling, we advanced, as I said, we've got a wealth of targets across the property. So, it's not what I would say is sexy, right? But this is systematic exploration of a district scale gold system. So, we've advanced targets on the western half of our property way outside of the resource area. We'll be coming back on a press release on the results of that basal till sampling, top of bedrock, et cetera, looking at, these IP, geophysical, mapped and prospecting sort of targets that we want to get back and drill. So we've also got, coming up later this the second half of this year, we've got that resource update, right? Which people should be looking
That's what I want to
towards.
know.
Yeah, and that's going to be what I said is the initial resource that we did in 2022 with the partnership. Was SLR was done at 1800 0.45 gram cutoff, 3 million ounces pit constrained with similar sort of block sizes for whatever was underground was sort of blocks that fell outside of the pit boundary. We can improve on that dramatically, especially with the understanding that we have geologically now, better constrained geological model, good quality exploration drilling that we did this year. We expect to see gains, so look for that. As a next key catalyst, potentially, we've guided towards we'll get it done by the year end, but I like to deliver something a little bit better than that, a little bit quicker. Doing it the right way, of course. And look, we've earmarked 3,000 meters of drilling for a Joutel project. It'll be the first program of its kind, looking at the potential high grade VMS system that Agnico shut down in 1993 at much lower gold prices, with lots of exploration potential around it. Never really been drilled with a proper model. So we're working on targeting, permitting, all that stuff to get ready for Joutel drilling. And I think we're going to be getting back as well into some of these zones that we really like at Douay, where we see a potential to add ounces and high quality ounces very rapidly at 531 Anika. And then behind the scenes as well, there's a scoping study, engineering study, trade-off study on, open pit versus underground, on, whole ore leach versus, gravity, cyanidation, flotation. I mean, we're thinking like engineers here. Do we build a mill here? Do we utilize some of our partners or other capacity, mill capacity that may be in the region because we are, within striking distance of a couple of hungry mills? Are there ways to improve grade, et cetera? And those are things that are
You're going to
going
have
to underpin.
options.
Yeah, there's
Definitely.
optionality. And again, it's when I say we want to show a path, a potential mine plan, development path, et cetera. If you don't do the work behind the scenes to properly evaluate it, then some of those things aren't worth the paper they're printed on, right? So when we have a partner which is highly credible as a large miner that's had great performance, you know, we want to make sure whatever we put out on this when it comes out, it screams credibility and buildability, right? So
Got it. Kieran, so people want to follow your story. How do they do that? How do they reach out to you? How do they find you? What exchanges are you traded on, and what are your ticker symbols?
yes, thank you. We're traded on the TSX Venture under the ticker symbol MGM. We're also traded on the OTC market in the US under MGMLF. And we trade on Frankfurt as well, M3G. You can find us. Our website is chock full of information. We keep it up to date regularly. I do a lot of interviews like this, although this is one of the best. Really a pleasure. So there's lots of media and materials. We've got social media. We're on Twitter. Sorry, X. So you can find us there as well as LinkedIn, you know, Instagram and Facebook, all under the name Maple Gold Mines. And if you can't get what you need through that, you're always welcome to reach out to me directly. My phone number, contact information, email information is on every press release we put out. Always accessible and always happy to talk to interested parties. So look forward to connecting again with you. And there's a lot more coming, so stay tuned.
Excellent. Kieran, I'll put all of this in the show notes, both on the YouTube channel, the Apple and Spotify podcast. I want to thank you so much for your time.
And thank you as well. Look forward to speaking with you again.
Absolutely. Take care.